the Ozark back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, won't you, friends? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking, to help brighten up your day. Don't brighten too much, Mae. Keep those showers around. Good morning, Mae.
Needs brightening. Somebody's been praying for rain, Fred. Did you know it? I accused Dr. Rickman of it a while ago. Maybe I can lay it on to you. Well, anyway, thank you, Fred. And good morning, dear friends, and how are you all? Since the summer hit us, you know, summer hit us the last few days. But all this morning we have a fine rain. It's a wonderful thing. And you heard the weatherman just now say it had rained over most of our Ozark country, didn't you? Thank heaven. Yes, sir, somebody's been praying for rain. Sunday, Virginia and I went to the Ozark Writers Guild that I've belonged to. It's an Ozark group, and a lot of them belong to the State Guild as well, a good many of us. Anyway, it's a fine organization. Sunday afternoon we went, and it was in the home of Peter and Del Doak. You know, we used to have Del here on the station. She's on KYTV now. We were riding with the Willifords, and I said to Charlie Williford, who is without doubt, I guess, the greatest weatherman in the United States, nationally known for many years, although he's now retired. I said, Charlie, when's it going to rain? And he said, oh, next week. Well, I took it seriously, and he didn't miss it, did he? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's a wonderful thing. If we can just go on and have some more, I was afraid we were going to suffer in the Ozarks this winter. People, it's too bad. But now everything's fine. Well, since last Saturday, I've still been thinking about the old-time things, and I want to say right now, a woman wanted me to send her my script, and she particularly wanted to make a copy of it to send to some friends in Washington, D.C., and I put her name down and lost her name. You know me. My dear, will you call me when I get home and tell me your name again, and I'll send it to you. You know, I just can't keep track of anything. Oh, if you could see my desk and my big table and all. You know, here's one thing. A little boy asked me a while back, well, a boy about 12, what a wheat cradle was. I couldn't describe it very well, but I've seen them. It's the old-time wheat harvesting. It used to be done with cradles, sort of a queer hand-mowing affair that looked like not like a scythe. It shaped, looked more like a cradle, sort of scooped out, you know. And that's where it got its name, they say, a cradle. Well, you know, only about 10 years ago, I saw two men cutting wheat with a cradle, believe it or not. They said that before the cradle, people say, they cut with what they called reap hooks. I don't know what they're like. It was a very slow process, and the cradle was thought to be a great improvement over the reap hooks. I tell you, I don't like to forget the old things. I'm afraid by living in the city so long that the very candle of things will be erased from my memory. I hope not. And I'll become quite cosmopolitan and maybe buy me a poodle dog and lead it around on a leash or some such stunt. You know, when I was in New York, I don't think I ever saw a woman, great big old horsey-looking woman, leading a little bit of a poodle dog in and out the great big stores and up and down the sidewalks. Oh, land, poor dog. Well, if I ever do that, I can hear the shades of dear old Aunt Susan. Aunt Susan Meeks, she'd say, well, now just look at May. Someone ought to have crippled her when she was a kid. That was her old saying. I'm glad I lived the life of the little hill village and enjoyed so many of the old things when I was young. I wouldn't have missed it for a fortune in gold. I remember one time when I was on radio in St. Louis, and believe me, they loved for me to talk about those old things better than anything I did on radio. And Monday I usually did, and then through the week, but particularly on Monday, and I would get letters by the load after that. One time I told about my little brother and I hunting doodlebugs out in the hills, roaming, and we'd get down over Doodlebug Hill and say, Doodlebug, Doodlebug, stick up your horn so I can give you a barrel of corn. Didn't you ever call doodlebugs out of their hole? Well, you've missed something. Here they come. That's the truth. You know, the vibration, they say, what brings them out of your voice. The doodlebug hole sort of looked like an ant hole. I wonder if they've got any anymore. Wish somebody let me know. Well, would you believe I got 23 letters from St. Louis people and some from East St. Louis telling me how they enjoyed the doodlebug memory brought back and that they had called doodlebugs when they were kids scattered around over the country, mostly in Illinois and in Missouri. Businessmen, doctors, women, old-timers. And I recall one thing. You know, I came home every Friday afternoon when I was on that radio for 2.5 years. Came here to Springfield every Friday afternoon and stayed until Sunday and went back. The war was on and the trains were packed beyond the telling and it was hard to get a seat. But there was a fine colored porter. He lived out in Valley Park. He was a very devout Baptist, he told me, and a Sunday school teacher and a Sunday school superintendent. Very fine man. He'd try always to save me a seat. And he was so kind to me. I can never forget it. One time with 22 cars packed with soldiers, it looked like as if I'd never get a seat. But I didn't mind. I could take it like the soldiers. But they were always hunting me a seat, the soldiers. But here came the porter down the aisle, and he said, "Well, Ms. McCord, come on back. 3 cars. I've got you a seat. You and your doodlebugs," he said. He'd been listening that morning at my broadcast. He always listened. But he owned up to me that he'd hunted doodlebugs all over Virginia when he was a kid. One time my husband, who was a hardware man, picked out and sent this porter the finest pearl-handled knife that you ever saw, the finest that money could buy. And I gave it to him, and he was pleased beyond words. I shall never forget Mr. Windsor, the porter, who was so kind to me all those trips. For more than 2 years, about 125 of those trips, think of coming back and forth from St. Louis 125 times. Doesn't seem possible. And the station paid for all of those trips, the radio station, for me to go home. This work, the University Women, this week, I mean, the University Women of Missouri are meeting at a wonderful conclave here in Springfield, and I've had phone calls from 2 very dear friends who are here as delegates. But so far, they've not found one moment from the convention to come see me, but are hoping they can. Mrs. Teresa Meyer of St. Louis and Mrs. Flo Mae Price of Vandalia, Missouri are the 2 women who have called me. Teresa thought maybe she could get out here to my broadcast, but I think this rain and the distance out here and all sort of discouraged her. I hope they're listening in, and I want to say God bless you gals. You're 2 of the finest women Missouri ever produced, to my notion. It's a wonderful thing to have all these university women here in our city with our university women here. Women who have struggled hard, the greater part of them, for education and to make something of their lives. God speed them. I'm so proud to have a daughter who did the same thing. You know, nobody ever regrets learning along the years. Never regrets the years they put in learning. I seem to have it in the back of my mind today that I am to wish someone a happy birthday, but I must have misplaced the letter, and it is worrying me half to death. Who is it? Let me know, and I'll wish him next Saturday a happy birthday. Anyway, whoever has a birthday, today or tomorrow, look here. I just got through talking about her. Here she is, Flo Mae. Bless your dear heart. That's a good one. Come here and say hello to Carl. Oh. He's at Deepwater, Missouri. He always listens.
Oh, hello, Carl. Wish you were up here.
He'll be tickled to hear that. Writes to me all the time, you know, and he's at Deepwater, lives with his sister and her husband. That's our Carl Ike that I talked to you about. First poet laureate of the Ozarks. Well, it's a wonderful thing to have them here. And I told you that I owe somebody a birthday. Who it is, I don't know. But maybe just even my love will do some good and help make them happy. You know, love's the greatest thing in the world, isn't it? I'm always telling them that, Flo. The psychiatrists all now call it a medicine. We must have it. And children above all must have it. Just look in the Bible in the beautiful Song of Solomon. Do you ever read that, Fred? The Song of Solomon. You know, the president of Leland Stanford University of California once said it's the greatest love story ever written. It's strange why it is in the Bible. It's just Solomon was as he could do, you know, a beautiful Song of Solomon. And you see what it says. It says love is as strong as death. But it turns around and says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And nothing truer was ever written since God hung the stars. Read the whole book. It's short and it's just beautiful poetry. Some of it you may know, oh, it's about my love. And if you see my love, tell him this and that. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. So happy birthday, my love to all of you, whether you have a birthday or not. And especially to the dear women who listen to me, so many of them, the women. There's nothing on earth more wonderful than a good woman. The Magdalens who bear the perfume of pity and love in their hearts. Sometimes you're awfully blue and upset, you women, I know, but here is a little verse for you this morning. Fret not yourself. The many sharp vexations and the briars that catch and fret, why not take them to the Helper who has never failed us yet? Tell him about the heartache and all your longings too. Tell him the bewilderment when you scarce know what to do. Then leaving all your weakness with the one divinely strong, forget that you bore the burden and carry away the song. I want to still thank the dear people who send me trading stamps to help buy the bus for the poor retarded children in the home at Marshall. You know, honey, we're buying a bus with trading stamps for the retarded children. It's a wonderful thing. I want to tell you all that the bus is over half paid and all with trading stamps, but all but just a few dollars. You know my time's nearly up. Time just flies. That people have been kind enough to drop in the few dollars in the letter now and then. That's all paid with trading stamps beside that. And they're hoping to have the bus by the real hot weather, Mrs. Wyman says, and she's the real wheel horse, believe me. And her husband, Carl, they go up there, fix the stamps all up and go up to Marshall every few weeks and take them and go to meetings and see how things are going. I had a nice letter recently from the head there telling the doctor, telling me how I appreciated what we're doing. I asked for them over the radio and you send them to me and then I get them to Ms. Wyman. And I had a letter, I think I've got time maybe to see them. It won't take a minute. I had a letter from a woman recently who was worried over her son and she said she wished she'd never had any children. My dear, I must say this, don't ever regret having a child. It will all come out all right. What a lonely world for you when you get old if you were childless. Good children are the candle of the Lord. They are a lamp in the darkness when you are gray with years and life. It'll turn out that way. It's planned for you long before you were born. It's the old law. It's something you have earned and will come to you in the Creator's good time. Don't worry. My mother used to hold a lighted lamp at bedtime. I stood wide-eyed and grave watching the long black stairway. Then she placed my hand in hers, and together we were brave. We must be brave when life has dimmed its light. God hold a lighted lamp for you tonight. And goodbye, and I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.